Thank you, team. Thank you, DR team members. So good to open God's Word together. I invite you to turn in your Bibles or look on the screen. We're in Matthew chapter 15, and let's take a look. We're going to read verses 1 through 15 of Matthew 15. Then we'll continue sort of the meat of the passage is a little bit beyond what we've read, but we're going to dig quite a bit into that in the message today. Let's hear the word of the Lord. It's a particular event in the ministry of Jesus. It says this, "Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know what the Pharisees, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.'" Have you ever been looking for something and looked everywhere, 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 except the one place where you actually find it? It's like that with the Pharisees and their pursuit of purity. They were looking and working hard, seeking to find it in their performance rather than in God and his mercy. That's the way it is with honesty. Honesty does not come from self-exalting, self-trusting performance and working really hard at being honest. Honesty comes from God and his mercy. Try as you might to prove it, work on yourself, work at it, it won't happen. You need the gospel. You need God. You need his mercy and grace. And that's what we're talking about today as we move from this rather unfamiliar custom for us of the washing of hands. And this is not the washing that your mom told you to do before you go have a meal, right? This is not for physical purposes that this washing is happening. This is a washing that is happening for spiritual purposes. And this passage is clearly about washings and defilement. Look with me, verse 2. Not wash with their hands. This is the criticism of Jesus and his lack of direction for his disciples. Verse 15, it is not what a person takes into their mouth that defiles them, but it is something that flows from the heart, Jesus said. Verse 20, to eat with unwashed hands, there it is again, does not defile a person. So this washing was a ceremonial washing performed by the Pharisees, instituted by them as a human tradition. And not just that it was something that was added to the Old Testament. If you look there, you look in vain for this as everyone for every meal, although there was some ceremonial washing for the priest and the descendants of Aaron. But furthermore, what's worse about this is this then became the way that they saw and expressed that they were pure. They followed the external rules made up by man, and they come to Jesus with this question. They actually made a trip of about 70 miles to ask it. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat? In other words, they were expecting that Jesus would correct them, get them into line in following their tradition of ritual washing. This was man-made, something the Pharisees and others like them had added to the Old Testament. This is not true Old Testament religion. Please see that. We're going to talk more about the day. And the text then ends with that same issue of defilement. As Jesus clarifies the nature of true purity. Here it is. These, that is, the evil thoughts and actions that he's described in verse 19, come out of the heart. They are what defile a person. What one eats and with unwashed hands, eating does not defile anyone, Jesus said. And the point of all this is the need for the gospel. I want us to see that as the kind of the main idea of today's message in this text about defilement. And one of the reasons I'm convinced of that, I'll share more today, though, is what we see next in the next chapter. After Jesus shares this with the disciples and does continue in ministry in Gentile territory, very next in the Gospel of Matthew is Matthew chapter 16, 15, 16. In Matthew 16, Jesus brings it to focus and asks the disciples the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter nails it. This is the confession of true believing in the true Jesus and beginning to understand the true nature of his mission as Jesus now reveals it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the one who brings cleansing and his work on the cross that he provides that cleansing. This is so central for unseen springs, for uncommon honesty. It's the reality and truth of the gospel. Now, we've been talking about different elements of heart-shaping honesty in this message series about forgiveness that flows through Jesus. We looked at the way that Zacchaeus was transformed. We've talked about Bible meditation and wisdom from the fear of God and renewal by the Holy Spirit and disciplined prayer life. And I want us to understand that those things that we do that are disciplines are not something that we pursue merely externally so that we kind of follow the right rules. But rather, they're things that God has designed for forgiven people to experience internal change and transformation by the gospel. We've talked about spirit-empowered community in the gospel last week from Ananias and Sapphira. Today, we're looking at honesty from the inside by the gospel. That is the truth of the gospel impacting the heart of a person. And we're going to unpack this passage around Jesus' response to three different entities, the Pharisees, the disciples, and then to Peter himself. Verses 1 through 9, Jesus responds to the Pharisees' criticism of himself. Then we'll move quickly to the disciples, and Jesus sort of unpacking behind the scenes privately, okay, what is this that I'm explaining to you here? And then even more focus with Peter and kind of the highlight verses of the text we're going to drill down into 15 through 20. And then we're going to talk about Jesus' message for us, to you, to me, today, through this text in its context. We're examining what Jesus teaches about the nature and the source of true spiritual defilement and the nature and source of true spiritual purity. Defilement comes from all of us and from our heart. Purity comes from Jesus and the gospel, bringing cleansing and transformation to our heart. That's what we're considering today, how we need the gospel. This passage underscores the need of every person for the gospel, and clearly in its context it is that Jesus provides the heart cure, not by human ritual, external performance, puffing yourself up, look at me, I do this, but by Jesus and what he provides and a personal response of trusting in him. That's what we're considering today. And I think part of this, we just need to appreciate that as Jesus is ministering, revealing things to his disciples here at this point, The cross has not yet happened, right? We have the wonderful benefit of being the other side of the cross, all the details of Jesus dying for sin, rising from death, and the declaration of that heart transformation through the gospel that comes because of the cross. The disciples are on the other side, not yet of the cross, but Jesus is revealing to them the truth of what is needed for heart transformation. And one of the big things that needs to happen is he needs to knock out the prop of the false religion that surrounded these men. And so often today, the same is true, right? Why do people not want to receive the gospel? Because they're trusting some prop of false religion, some human performance, some I'm okay. It's those other people that need it, but not me. So here, as Jesus does this sort of clarification about true purity and true defilement and every person's need for the purity and cleansing of the gospel because of their heart defilement, he's making that case around the Pharisees so the disciples see and reject the Pharisees' religion, and we and they embrace him and the gospel. Now you may say, Pastor Bruce, does this passage have anything to do with honesty? Well, how did this end up in your honesty series? I say, yes, it absolutely does. Think about this. Number one reason this relates to honesty. Do you see what the key topic is here? It is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is dishonesty, right? It's not anything other than pure dishonesty. It is pretending to be okay when you're not okay. It is claiming something that you say and believe is true when you don't live as if you believe it's true, right? So the fundamental issue here in this passage is dishonesty. And dishonesty is the fundamental issue of the sin condition. The unwillingness to admit the reality of one's heart need for cleansing. And Jesus here, as he addresses the Pharisees and their hypocrisy, he's really, I think, underscoring the need of all people for heart transformation. You hypocrites, he says, verse 7. But their heart is far from me, even though they do lots of religious stuff. They're playing the part to look spiritual, but it's a form of dishonesty. So second way this text relates to honesty. Did you notice the list of things in Matthew chapter 19? You've seen it before if you read this. Here's kind of one of the hearts about the heart of the text, about the heart. And it's that from the heart, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness. In other words, lying, one of the big 10, comes from the heart and is addressed here in this passage. So this is not random stuff about just sin in general. This is specific sins aligning with the 10 commandments, and one of those is dishonesty. So this is Jesus getting to the heart of the matter about honesty coming from the inside through the gospel. That's what we're looking at today. First, let's consider Jesus to the Pharisees. They traveled about 60 or 70 miles up to make this criticism of Jesus, and Jesus then speaks in response to their criticism of him for not corralling the disciples around this ceremonial ritual hand washing, and Jesus brings it back to the heart for them and the heart for all of us. And for anyone who would act as if they don't need mercy, they don't need forgiveness, they don't need the gospel. Jesus confronts the dishonesty and the dishonoring God in them, their approach to religion, and he would do so to anyone who would pursue God in a way that was about puffing up themselves, look at me and what I do, rather than trusting God and his mercy revealed in Jesus. Now I said to you, this is not Jesus criticizing true Old Testament religion. True Old Testament faith, yes, had a symbolic ceremonial element, which points to Jesus, but the Pharisees had twisted the Old Testament. And you say, Pastor Bruce, how do you know that? Let me just give you one Old Testament text to hold alongside the Pharisees. What about Psalm 51? God desires truth in the inner man, David says. Create in me a clean heart, David says. The contrite heart is the one that God delights in, right? All of those are a million miles from Pharisaic religion. And so Jesus is confronting, encountering them as they come to him and make this complaint. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Jesus, in this setting, is continuing to reveal himself to his disciples for them to come to a firm faith in him as Messiah. And it's right prior to he goes to the cross. Look at Matthew 16, verse 18, Matthew 16, verse 22. He's making clear their need by knocking out the prop of the Pharisaic religion so that they will embrace Jesus. So this can, for us, be a call for us to not trust anything in ourselves, but only Jesus who brings the cure by the cross. And he answered them, verse 3, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother. Whoever reviles his mother, father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Jesus switches to a different topic, but the similarity is putting man-made tradition above true worship of God. In this case, how you deal with your father and mother. And they had created elaborate systems for avoiding caring for their parents and pretending that they were giving the money for some other cause to honor God. And of course, Jesus calls it hypocrisy. This approach is both devoid of truth and dishonest. This is why Jesus says, you hypocrites. Now, we need to talk about hypocrisy for a little bit. It's the one big knock a lot of people have. The church is full of people who have hypocrisy, and I've heard it said, well, there's actually, it's not full of those people. There's room for one more. There's room for you. So would all the people who have some measure of hypocrisy in their life, please sit down. Okay, good. We got that straight. We're all, yeah. So the Bible knows no such thing as people who don't have any hypocrisy. And what do I mean by that? Because all of us fail to live to the standard even that we have, much less the standard of God. Now, what Jesus is, though, countering here is something that is, I believe, deeper. And it's utterly devoid of truth and utterly dishonest when he says, you hypocrites. And he's saying that was true of Isaiah's time and the people of Israel, and true of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, is this utter hypocrisy. And I want us to reflect a little bit deeper on this. Hypocrisy is a kind of dishonesty. But there seems to be an element in true heart honesty, not just of admitting the truth, but of living the truth. Let me reflect on this with you. What if somebody says, hey, I just being honest, I sin all the time because I like to sin. Now, is that person a hypocrite? Well, in one sense, no, because they're admitting the truth, right? But in another sense, yes, because they are not living the truth of God. And the truth that God intends for them not to live that way, right? So there are some who pretend they're fine, and I don't sin and never sin, which is not true, and that kind of hypocrisy. But another who may gladly admit their sin, but still don't live the truth. In the case of the Pharisees here, it was neither that they had the truth, nor that they lived the truth, right? They were not being truthful. They were putting up a false shell of spirituality without true acknowledgement of the true and living God. This kind of hypocrisy here is utter self-protection, self-exaltation, and self-scheming in the name of trying to appear spiritual when not having any true essence of it at all. So what we want as believers in Jesus Christ is not just that we admit our need, but we want to receive the gospel and live by God's grace more and more transformed lives that reflect the way he wants us to live. The Pharisees lacked all of it. Their hearts don't honor God, just their lips flapping. There's no true, honest worship, and there's just a man-made system, which I would submit to you is what all man-made works religion is. Span the globe and look all around. Wherever Jesus is rejected, man-made religion and works religion seeks to puff itself up and pretend it's okay. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What we need is honesty from the inside by the gospel, and Jesus alone offers. Now, Jesus shifts from speaking to the Pharisees to speaking to the disciples about the Pharisees and the Pharisees' approach to defilement. So Jesus makes a direct statement about defilement. We're going to look at that, verses 10 and 11. And then the disciples inform him that the Pharisees didn't like that at all. The Pharisees are deeply offended at Jesus' statement, and we might ask why. We'll probe that deeper. Then Jesus clarifies the failure of the entire approach of the Pharisees, of all self-promoting religion and externalism, is wrong. Therefore, don't fret those guys. Don't go that way. Rather, seek right relationship with God through heart change in Jesus, whom you need. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 first, the statement. And he called the people to him and said to them, here's his statement about defilement. Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth. That is, did your hands get washed before that food went in, or any sort of ceremonial thing like that, or external thing like that, that defiles a person? The problem isn't coming in terms of defilement. The problem is what comes out. But what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Now, where did that come from? And Jesus is going to clarify that in a few minutes. The Pharisees were offended by this. And this is not just that they didn't like it. This word offense in chapter 15, verse 12, is a form of the word scandalizo. Do you hear it? It's a scandal. It's a scandal to them what Jesus is saying in his approach. Why? Because they were holding on to their external self-congratulatory approach to religion. And sadly, many people today, even in the Christian tradition, hold on to an external self-congratulatory approach to religion. And they're offended by the gospel that says your heart is desperately corrupt and beyond cure, and you need God's radical forgiveness and his transforming grace. And the disciples came and informed Jesus that they were so offended. Do you know the Pharisees were offended, scandalized, when they heard this saying and all that Jesus said? And Jesus then gives some summary statements about these. And of course, again, I'm saying Jesus is here making clear to the disciples to reject that approach, the Pharisaic approach. It's the closest approach to the ministry of Jesus of all of the parties of Judaism in that time. And Jesus is saying it's totally wrong. They believed in God, yes. They believe in the law, yes. They believe in resurrection, yes. But they were entirely wrong because the approach to God was rooted in an improper understanding of true defilement. They will be rooted up, Jesus says. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. That's who they are. Don't fret their views and criticism. Don't fret those who say, I'm offended that you believe Jesus and the gospel, and you're saying I'm in need of forgiveness. Don't fret that. Because these Pharisees are blind guides. They're like blind leading the blind into a pit. I'm imagining switching the metaphor a little bit from blind to pin the tail on the donkey. Everybody play that game? What if not only the person trying to pin the tail on the donkey was blindfolded, but the person spinning them around and trying to direct them to the donkey was also blindfolded? Imagine that. Imagine how crazy that would be. And where it's like, no, it'd be, how can that person have any idea where they're going? Exactly the point. Blind people can't lead blind people. Blindfolded people can't lead the blindfolded. But that's what these Pharisees are. They're spiritually blind. And seeing ourselves as spiritually blind and in need of the gospel is so, so important. I'm reminded of a book, a blue book that was on my shelf. And oftentimes when I go to find a book on my shelf, my card catalog system is only in my head. So occasionally I can't find the book because there's a glitch in my card catalog system that's in my head. But normally when I can't find the book, I loaned the book out to somebody who borrowed it. So if you got the blue book that's entitled Extreme Righteousness, Seeing Ourselves in the Pharisee, you can keep it if you want, okay? But I thought of that book today because seeing ourselves in the Pharisees, and this author, Tom Hovstall, makes a great case. He examines the Pharisees and says, why is it that Christians today tend to be kind of like that? We have the right answers, but live lives that are not in alignment with what our answers are. We sat and listened to the Bible, but we're kind of going into church saying everything's okay, but then behind the scenes it's really not. We take the Bible and what it says and then use it not to care for people as God intends us to, but to position ourselves to look nice as we want to, right? So this whole focus on the Pharisees being wrong, let's not just say, oh, it's the Pharisees that are wrong. Let's be willing to look at where in my life and in our approach to Christianity have we settled for something that's kind of a modern-day version of the Pharisees. Jesus says that doesn't bring honesty. That's not how one is truly cleansed. That's not how one grows in grace. That's not the gospel message that I bring and offer. I offer you myself and my finished work on the cross. That's the source of cleansing. And so, in this text, Jesus speaks to the disciples, and then he speaks to Peter. Let's consider what he says to Peter as Peter asks the question about, Lord, explain the parable to us. Verse 15. Can we look at that? Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And this term, parable, that's used here, is we think of parables like one of those stories. Jesus tells the stories. Well, this isn't really a story. Parable can also be used for a saying. It doesn't always have to be a story. And here we see an example of Jesus using a saying, and Peter's like, hey, I hope I can understand this. So notice the next verse. Jesus seems somewhat troubled, perplexed, that the disciples, and the you is plural, so it's not just Peter, still don't understand. Still don't understand the nature of true defilement. It seems like they're really not getting what Jesus is saying here. Are you still without understanding? Hopefully, as we're hearing this, we're saying, no, we've heard Jesus address the Pharisees. We've heard Jesus addressing the disciples and their question about the Pharisees being offended. And we're like, no, Jesus, I don't need more explaining here. But in case you need some more explaining, let's look at these verses in Matthew chapter 15 as Jesus explains more to them what they should already understand. And hopefully we can embrace these words and understand as well. Jesus then makes a statement that just kind of clarifies the nature of all this stuff of defilement and the ritual cleansing, which doesn't really bring cleansing. It's just ceremonial. And all of where true heart cleansing comes from in him. In these verses 17 through 20, let's look at it. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? That is, it goes into the latrine. It's just, there it is. It's in, it's out, it's in the latrine. It's got nothing to do with true defilement or true cleansing. But what comes out of the mouth, that is what people say and do, behaviors, etc., proceed from the heart. That's the core within us, the spiritual moral control center. And this defiles a person. In other words, the reality of the heart is where defilement happens. And then it says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness. We could look at, a lot of those have some level of dishonesty in them, but then false witness is clearly lack of honesty. And then slander. These are what defile a person. It's a reality of the heart that brings defilement, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile anyone. Now, as we look at that, does anybody notice Jesus does not say here, at least if he did, Matthew doesn't record it for us, anything about good hearts. Anybody notice that? All it is about the heart problem. All it is about the bad things that come from the heart. And why is that? I believe it's because without the gospel, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. So this is pointing us to our need for his transforming grace, the person of who he is, which is his point he's making to the disciples throughout here, and what he does by going to the cross, which is the transition point in chapter 16. Then he began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer and die. And then he tells them again and again and again, and then we have the narrative of Jesus' death, and then we have the truth and reality of what Jesus does on the cross to bring forgiveness and cleansing. Do you know how heart cleansing does happen? Actually, in Acts chapter 15, we see it. And the heart cleansing happens through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your heart is not clean, how can it be made clean? How can you be forgiven? Not fake, external, but real. The gospel. As the Jewish believers in Jerusalem were talking about the reality of the Gentiles and the gospel, this is one of their conclusions. He, that is God, made no distinction between us, that is law-keeping, ceremonial-observing Jews, and Gentiles who don't keep any of that stuff and weren't even circumcised. He makes no distinction between them and us, having cleansed their hearts by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, anyone's heart is cleansed. Not externalism, not ritualism, not how well you keep this, that, or the other things, the rules you have. It is by the gospel of Jesus Christ your heart is cleansed. And I would submit to you, not only is heart cleansed in that way, that's how hearts grow. Our hearts grow in transformation and honesty, and we can look at lots of New Testament passages that connect cleansing to the process of growth. Our hearts grow as we humbly acknowledge our continuing need for Jesus and the gospel. So what's the message for us today? What's the word for Jesus? He talked to the Pharisees and confronted them. He talked to the disciples about the Pharisees and helping them understand. He spoke to Peter and to the others as he draws them and us to understand where true defilement comes. It comes from within you and me. And where true cleansing comes, it comes from Jesus and the gospel. What is Jesus saying to us? Let me just suggest two things. If you're here today and you've yet to turn to him and confess him by faith to receive heart cleansing that he gives by his finished work on the cross, this is the call for you today. Receive Jesus and the gospel for true heart cleansing and confess him as Peter did. The second is, and I know many of you have received him, but I want to encourage us some clarity around trusting him as you continue in him for heart growing. Not to fall back into some kind of Christianized Phariseeism, but to continue him in him and his gospel for heart growing. Let's look first at Peter's confession once again. What a wonderful nailing it by Peter as he acknowledged Jesus is the person who brings heart cleansing. And of course, he's going to go to the cross and provide that for us. But will you confess him today? As Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you confess him personally as your Savior and God? And then let's look at four aspects of a heart posture of continuing. That's the exact opposite of what we see in the Pharisees. First is this, happy gratitude. Happy gratitude. In other words, I have been forgiven by Jesus. My heart is clean, though it does not deserve it. And so I'm filled with gratitude to him and live in that sense of joyful gratitude because I'm forgiven. Second is this, honest admission before Jesus of your heart failures. Not what everybody sees and what you project, but the reality. As you open God's word, as you go before and in prayer, as you continue to live, as you have opportunity to have relationships of accountability and community, honest admission of failures. You know, there's a song we sang said, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. I don't know if that's to God or others, but I think a lot of us are afraid to show our weakness, both to God and others, and that keeps us from growing. Honest admission of failures and weakness is how we grow. And it's so much the opposite of the Pharisaical approach. The third is humble trusting. Humble trust. Not look at me and I'm doing this, but oh, I need Jesus. I need him all the time. I need him every day. I need him every moment. We live in that reality of humble trust, constantly expressing our need for him and our dependence in him. And last, number four, is hungry seeking and pursuit, right? It's not to be content. It's not to say, oh, I sin a lot and it's okay. But I'm forgiven and I'm pursuing him. I'm seeking to grow. And even things like discipline are in the right context, not of proving how great I am, but strengthening my resolve to walk with him and honor him. Hungry. Hungry like you want that meal when you're needing food, hungry for him and pursuit of him and growth in him. That's where this text points us, what it means to continue following in that core transformation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you went to the cross to provide what we could not provide in our own efforts, a clean heart. Lord Jesus, we bow before you and we worship you. We acknowledge our dependence on you. We're hungry for more of you and growing in you, and we're filled with gratitude for the gift of forgiveness. Lord, may the growth in honesty, real honesty, not the kind that just puts up a front, Lord, be more and more prevalent in my life, in our lives, in this community, in our fellowship, for the advance of the gospel, that the attention might be drawn not to us, but to Jesus. Lord, we pray for that transforming work in us. And God, may you be glorified as we give all the glory to you who gave yourself for us. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's stand as we close.